This is Bob Fetrakis with The Other Side of the News, brought to you by thefreepress.org. WCRS Community Radio 98.3 and 102.1. This is Bob Fetrakis bringing you once again The Other Side of the News, and I'm here with a frequent guest, investigative reporter and expert on national security for the Columbus Free Press and thefreepress.org, Jerry Bellow. Welcome back to The Other Side of the News.
Oh, thanks for having me, Bob. I'm always happy to be here.
Now, just within the last hour or so, an article was posted on thefreepress.org talking about drones and the company known as Amazon. What is the problem? Don't you believe in special delivery?
Believe in special delivery. You mean Santa Claus?
Very special whatever delivery.
Just send a just put it in the mail already.
But isn't this the future of delivery? Small portable drones?
I had a look.
Can bring you the book that you just participated in writing within, what, 20 minutes, 40 minutes? How does it work? A couple hours?
Well, if we want to talk about the book that you and I and Harvey wrote, and yes, it's available on Amazon, but by the same token, it's also available directly from the Free Press, and frankly speaking, Amazon really takes a big bite out of that, and we'd rather you bought it from us.
All right, so what's going on with this drone program, and why should it cause, and it's a drone delivery program, why should it cause anyone concern?
Well, I had a look at the drones that Amazon's using, and it's a small octarotor drone.
Octarotor, meaning eight blades?
Yeah, it's an eight blades. I had a look at the drone, and I had a look at, since I couldn't look at Amazon's actual drone, I looked at other octarotor drones in that class, same lift, mm-hmm. same range, same speed, all the things that it does, and I then, based on my experience where I once ran a transshipment warehouse, I ran the computers that ran a warehouse that shipped clothing somewhere in the South for a Fortune 500 company, so I've actually run a computer system of about the size that would be necessary to run an Amazon fulfillment center. I looked at that and said, okay, how would this work? How, you know, I pretended I'm the guy in the glass box controlling the drones and keeping an eye on it. What kind of system do I need? What do the drones mm-hmm. do? And I realized that even if the drones are semi-autonomous, you know, they know where they're going and they go to a waypoint, then to another waypoint, land in your yard, drop the book off, fly back.
Electronic carrier pigeons.
Right. They still have a camera.
Okay.
I can still intervene and fly the drone if I have to mm-hmm. as the operator. Whether or not that drone's on a pre-programmed flight path or not, that camera's always on. That camera's always recording. Okay? That signal is active, so I can look up and see where the drone is, and okay, you're in the wrong place. I'm going to take over and fly the drone, set it back where it is. That camera's always on. Now, if
so
I've
this
got
is like Law and Order or Homeland, where they're always going to the private cameras and security cameras? Is that what we're worried about?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. It's a digital camera. So all that stuff is, all that video feed is passing through a hard drive, okay, a big hard drive.
And it could be captured on that hard drive or stored in the cloud?
Is captured on that hard drive, is stored in the cloud. I mean, has to be. That's the only engineering way to do it with any kind of efficiency. It's the only way to make it work. And then when you're looking at the fact that Amazon has a $600 million contract with the CIA where they sell the CIA cloud computing services, what you have is a bunch of Amazon fulfillment centers, each with drones operating around the clock. These drones have infrared so they can work at night. They're constantly recording whether somebody's looking or not. They're putting it on a hard drive that I know the national security state can access.
How do we know they're dealing with the CIA again?
It's a public contract. It's well known that Amazon is selling cloud computing services to the CIA. I mean, the fact that IBM sued them over getting the contract and wants the contract is a matter of public record. This is not a secret. You know, they're in federal court because over competition for that contract. The CIA is in their cloud computing services. How far in? Well, once you're in, you're in. You know,
meaning
maybe the CIA has access to more parts of Amazon's cloud than Amazon sold them. In fact, not maybe, it's they have as much as they want. They're the CIA. Once they're in the front door, they're in your house.
And how would you explain a cloud? What is a cloud?
Your data is addressable. You know, your data has a virtual address, but it's stored on one or more servers in one or more places as needed and moved around so that...
So it's not something up there literally floating around in the sky. It's on a server farm someplace?
Many server farms, and it changes server farms as needed by Amazon's workflow, right? They can just up and move the contents of a whole hard drive to another hard drive in another country or another city or another server farm, or you make a contract and say, I want you to store X amount of data, and you don't ask any questions about where it's stored, just about how quick you can get it.
And you say this isn't Amazon's only ties to the CIA.
No, it's not. When Amazon founder Jeff Bezos bought the Washington Post last year, that deal was negotiated by a venture capital firm that employs, as their deal maker, their go-getter guy, former CIA director George Tenet.
So he brokered the deal for Bezos to buy the Washington Post.
I wasn't in the room, but that's what he does for them. Is he's their he's a managing partner. He's their handshaker and deal maker. That's what they hired him for. They hired him for his Rolodex and his ability to go out and make a deal.
And who does he work for?
Allen & Company, which is a boutique venture capital firm mostly founded with old Coca-Cola money. They're heavily involved in Hollywood. They put their own money into things, but they are also deal makers. They also were partial underwriters of Twitter's initial public offering a couple of months ago. They, again, underwrote the initial shares of, they were along with Goldman Sachs and another large bank and another small bank. There's Allen & Company underwriting the initial public offering.
So it would bother you, the former CIA director is heavily involved in a company that's essentially bringing public Twitter as well as connections to these zones, or I should say drones. What can these drones see? How can the drones be used? Is it for surveillance?
Well,
it'll be more than delivery?
The drones can sit there and do their delivery and do what they're doing, and somebody could tap into that feed and nobody in the fulfillment center even need know. It's a camera flying around that's always on that the intelligence community can tap into anytime they want. And frankly speaking, if...
And record all that data and hold it?
Record that data, hold it, copy it off to their own server farm, discard it, use it, not use it. And frankly speaking, if, you know, a drone isn't in a place that they want a drone, they just put that place in, they go to a spot where what they want to look at is in between where they are and the fulfillment center, and they order a book, and the drone will fly over the target and deliver them a book. Now they get a free look at anything by clicking on Add to Cart. Buy a $10 book, have the drone deliver it, and look at everything in between the fulfillment center and where you are. Easy. I mean, the CIA...
Cheap and efficient.
Very.
Now, in that situation, they've got the potential then to cover, you know, virtually everywhere in the United States.
Not so much. Amazon does not have full coverage of the United States with its fulfillment centers, but they have fulfillment centers in over 30 states. And I think that they can, you can get a good 30-mile radius. So you're talking about 30 large metropolitan areas right now. But if Amazon builds...
Which many people argue that's where most of the people live in the United States, is in the 30 largest cities, which Columbus, of course, is one of those 30 largest cities. How big are these drones? I mean, aren't these just small little things that'll become winging in with a book?
They're about the size of a medium-sized dog. About 3 feet long, about a foot and a half wide. If you consider the sweep of the rotors, they're a little big.
But how much can they really carry? What's their payload?
I believe 5 kilos.
So, what's that come to in terms of books?
Depends on the size of the books, and there's also a plastic carrier. But, 5 kilos is 5 kilos. That's and also, if the payload is lighter, range is longer, because less energy means less drain on the battery, means the drone can fly further. If the drone goes slower, range goes longer, because it's a battery-powered system.
We're talking with Jerry Bello here on the other side of the noon news, and we're talking about drones, Amazon's plan to deliver in the 30 or so major metropolitan areas products through drones. And Jerry is revealing the surveillance aspect of this. So you think this is very serious concern. We should be concerned that these will be used by the surveillance state, the CIA, the NSA.
It's wide open. You don't even need to have access to the server farm to steal the video. I could just point an antenna at the drone. I can just listen on the frequency and I'll pick up that digital video. There's lots of ways to penetrate that system.
Because don't I own the airspace on my property? I mean, they're going to have to get some permission somewhere, right, from...
The FAA will make new regulations about how they can fly, and then they're flying over your house. And frankly speaking, if they fly over your house, they can see into your neighbor's yard, too, with an infrared camera. I don't know whether or not that camera is imaging infrared. If it is, they might... I don't know if it has thermal imaging capabilities. Might be able to see through your roof. Might not. I don't know. But I do know that the cameras have a fairly good resolution. They have a fairly good range. I know what frequencies they're broadcasting on, and it wouldn't be hard to guess, even though Amazon's particular drones are proprietary. It seems like all octorotor drones that are commercially available in that category pretty much are on the same frequency, pretty much have the same capabilities. The market is pretty competitive in terms of price and capability of octorotor drones.
All right. We're not planning here at the Free Press of delivering the Free Press by drone, but if we did, we would have privacy. Our drones would not spy. What else have you been working on lately? Go ahead.
Well, I actually have thought about getting the Free Press a drone. Just something to record demonstrations, and more importantly, to record police brutality from right out of range, right out of reach. It's a little... frankly speaking, if we start recording police brutality with a drone, we need to have a spare and take out an insurance policy, because I'm sure somebody will try and break it. And they are a little spendy, and so it's not in this year's budget, but my eye's been looking at them, yeah.
All right, it would give us little camera, some instant news feed. What else you been working on, Jerry?
Quite a little bit. I've got some things. I've got probably another 10, 12 NSA stories in the works, but what...
Is this because of that traitor Snowden? I don't think he's a traitor, but hasn't he recently been accused of that? This is The Other Side of the News, WCRS 98.3, 102.1. You're listening to Bob Fitrakis and Jerry Bello talking about surveillance and the security state. And now, what about Snowden?
Well, somebody pointed out to me that Michael Hayden had appeared on Crossfire. Michael Hayden is the former director of both the NSA and the CIA, not at the same time. And he said something very interesting about Edward Snowden. He used the word traitor, and he said, and I quote, "There's a word for what Edward Snowden did, and that word in the English language is treason." And that's a heck of a statement. And it shows that either one, that man, Michael Hayden, either has not read or does not believe in the Constitution. The word treason in the American Constitution was defined in Article 3. And you can only commit treason by providing aid and comfort to the during time of war to enemies of the United States, or by levying war against the United States of America. Now, Snowden's done neither of these things. Hayden based his statement on Snowden's alleged offer to Brazil to help them make their networks more secure. And which is not out there, one. Two.
But we're at war with Brazil. Oh,
no, we're not.
Actually an ally. But anyway.
Well, and then, Hayden also used the word defector and said that Snowden has defected to Russia or that he's defected to China. If we were at war with Russia, one, why is the city that I'm sitting in right now not incinerated? Why are we cooperating with the Russians on security at the Olympics? If we're at war with China, why are we selling them treasury bonds? So clearly, we are not at war with Brazil.
Why are they making the avionics for our fighter planes?
And more importantly, we're selling them treasury bonds. We're selling the Chinese treasury bonds, and we're,
Well, someone's got to we've got to be able to, support the war effort some way.
Right.
Against China.
So the United States is not at war with any nation state. We're not in a state of declared war. Therefore, you cannot commit treason. Right. We're not at war. Therefore, you cannot provide aid and comfort to our enemies. Now, technically speaking,
because if that were true, all those U.S. corporations that have invested in China, destroyed Detroit and the Midwest, would be giving aid and comfort to our enemies.
Correct. Now let's go one step further, and somebody will go, quit playing games, Jerry. There's a global war on terror, and we're at war with Al-Qaeda. Now,
and that is a good point, because that is why we removed Saddam Hussein, who suppressed Al-Qaeda, and now Al-Qaeda is running wild in Iraq. Had we not brought Al-Qaeda in there, we couldn't have been in war with them recently.
Well, we're not at war with them. Congress did not declare... Al-Qaeda is not a nation state. Congress has not declared war on Al-Qaeda. This is a police action, and frankly speaking, quite a few service people have deserted, have gone AWOL, have missed movement, have refused to participate in the war. Although these people have been punished, some of them, none of them has been charged under the Uniform Code of Military Justice with desertion in the face of the enemy. None of them has been hit with the wartime crime, which you can be shot for. No one's tried any of them, not a single one. When our military misbehaves, when a military person misbehaves, there's a peacetime and a wartime definition of their crimes. Although we punish Chelsea Manning unjustly, He was not shot at dawn. So we're not at war with Al-Qaeda. So in Michael Hayden's mind, who
are we? But weren't we at war with them, and that's why we armed them recently in Syria?
I'm confused because I'm not seeing a state of war that Michael Hayden's alluding to, and therefore, who can we be at war with? Who did Edward Snowden aid and comfort? And if Edward Snowden aided and comforted
North Korea, there's a truce there.
Well, he aided and comforted the global public. He gave them aid. He gave me aid. He made me understand the situation I'm in. He helped me explain to you the situation you're in. So I think Michael Hayden believes that the United States is at war with its own population and with the global public, because that is who Edward Snowden set out to aid.
Well, at least that makes logical sense. I mean,
it seems like
they're at war with us.
Well, either Michael Hayden is not. That's the only way Michael Hayden's statements can make logical sense. I mean, they're directing effort against surveilling us. They're collecting intelligence on us. They're keeping secrets from us. They reserve the right to torture and kill us with drones. Mm-hmm. I guess we are the government's enemy. The public is the enemy. At least in Michael Hayden's mind, that appears to be true. And I think that that's the only revealing statement that Michael Hayden made on Crossfire.
All right. So the question of Mr. Snowden and Michael Hayden. Now, you're working on other stories as well, other research?
I am, and some of it I'm not going to talk about because there's a race on, and my job for the Free Press is to get to the story before anybody else. So sometimes I don't necessarily talk about what I'm working on because some of these are fairly technical. There was a Jacob Applebaum at the Chaos Computing Congress in Hamburg about a week ago, revealed a whole bunch of NSA surveillance programs.
Mm-hmm.
He gave us the code names. 206 of them. And frankly speaking, if I can get a story out of 1 in 10 of them, that's going to keep me busy for a month. And I'm looking quite close at examining, confirming, and looking at the actual technical specifications of certain NSA surveillance programs. I'm going after the source code, and I'm going to publish it.
All right, you're listening to The Other Side of the News. Going back to a story that we talked about a while back on this show, whatever happened to Barnaby Jack there? Did they find out what he died of?
No, they did not find out what he died of, and they, I may have to ask you to take your editor hat off and put your lawyer hat on, because the FBI is not complying with my Freedom of Information Act request, mm-hmm. and the San Francisco Police Department has refused to answer my questions about it. I know no more about Barnaby Jack today than I did the day he died.
And the day before he died, he announced that on the day he died, he was going to show people how to remote hack pacemakers, which we now know from Cheney's on Vice President Cheney's on the record saying that he had his pacemakers remote access disabled because it could be tampered with, and it was a plot land on Homeland as well.
And frankly speaking, well, first of all, he was going to reveal how he did it about a week later, but he revealed not the day that he died. It was going to be about a week later. But
I'm reading the mainstream papers. Their reports were that the next day he was going to actually demonstrate, and then he tragically died before he could do it.
Well, he talked about how it was done and how it can be done, and it's frightening. Pacemakers allow wireless access. That's what modern pacemakers can do, so that the doctor can, without an invasive procedure, get telemetry data on your heart, see how the pacemaker's working, change the orders to, you know, essentially update the programming of the pacemaker to make it work better for you. That's, but once you're in, like, as with any other computer security problem, once I'm into the system, I'm in the system. And you let me in the front door and I have the whole house. And in the case of wireless pacemakers, one, each has a unique identifier. You know, it's got a serial number that's built into the chip. The chip knows which chip it is. I can look up the records. I can find out the serial number of the pacemaker that a certain person has in them. So I could walk around with an iPhone and query all the pacemakers within the iPhone's range, and then I can find my target's iPhone, my target's pacemaker, and then I can log in through the unreset factory default password, gaping security hole, horrifying security hole, and then put high voltage across somebody's heart and kill them. The end. You're dead. You're dead. The end. I could just literally walk around with a broadcasting iPhone, and as soon as I got within 50, 100 feet of my target, they drop dead. Don't even have to take anything out of my pocket. Don't have to do a keyboard. I just run the program on a device that's in my pocket and walk kind of near somebody. Don't even have to know what they look like. Further, if I can remote hack somebody's cellular phone and access somebody's pacemaker through Bluetooth, I can just farm it out to somebody's cell phone that's in the area. You know, if I'm the government, I know...
Subcontracting.
Well, no. Well, sort of. If I'm the government...
if you're an assassin.
I know where every cell phone is. I just access through the cellular tower and make all the ones in a certain area broadcast, and I kill my target. The end. Or I give them a fatal overdose of insulin if it's an insulin pump. Same problem,
so
same security
this can
hole.
Be done with insulin pumps.
Yeah. I give you an insulin overdose, and you fall over and die. That's it. Goodbye. No second chance. Dead on arrival at the hospital.
All right. You're listening to The Other Side of the News. Any last thoughts for our listeners, Jerry? Other stories that you wish people to consider?
I think people need to consider the relationship, and I've got a story coming out on recent court decisions. I've got multiple stories coming out on the president's review panel on intelligence. It's time for the American public to start asking itself whether the Constitution is a functional document at all. I myself am an anarchist. That's a philosophical question, but it is, for me, a good starting point in talking about what rights are out there. It's a good starting document. However, I'm not sure that it's a functional document in the eyes of the government anymore. And I'm going to be using the security state as a lens to examine that problem over the coming months.
So we've had some discussions, the use of the term Orwellian, and of course we ought to discuss sometimes, we only got a minute left here, but Snowden's public comments on how he feels that he won, at least in that initial scrimmage. So we'll get you back on the show. Thanks for being here. You can read Jerry Bellow's work at thefreepress.org and in the pages of the weekly Columbus Free Press, as well as the book, that the updated and expanded version of a book by Harvey and I that has some of your writings in it from the 2012 election.
And
I think the best of.
If I can get some headspace, I might be coming out with another one that covers more of my NSA work.
All right, thanks. This is The Other Side of the News. Thank you for listening.